New York City, 2004. I got too many 19s in there. Just a few days before Thanksgiving, some young people decided to steal a car. But in that car was also the owner's credit cards. And they went out for a joyride. And while they were out, they stopped at a grocery store to buy some groceries that included a 20-pound frozen turkey. As they were speeding down a side street, they were approaching another car coming the other direction, driven by a young woman who had just left her niece's recital. As the cars got closer together, all the young woman remembers was one young man leaning out the window and this large object heading towards her. The frozen turkey had crashed through her windshield. It had bent the steering wheel down into her chest and hit her in the face. It broke every bone that it came in contact with. And while she was in the hospital, she was trying to fill in the police on what had happened. But her face had literally been stapled together, metal plates, screws, and staples. Her jaw was wired shut, and she was breathing through a tube in her throat. The public was outraged. There were demonstrations. There were prayers and candlelight vigils. The young man was eventually caught, and as typical, the wheels of justice turned slowly, but on August 15th in 2005, this young woman and this young man met face to face for the first time in the courtroom. She managed to walk with assistance, and she could only speak in whispers. The young man pleaded guilty to a much lesser charge, and his sentence was 6 months in jail, 5 years probation, a pinch of counseling, and a dash of community service. The courtroom erupts in a riot. People wanted to know and demanded who was responsible for this plea bargain. The young man who had just been sentenced, he turned toward the young woman and he was crying uncontrollably. His lawyer leads him to the young woman where she embraced him and held him really tight. She was comforting him, and then she whispered the seemingly impossible words, "I forgive you. I want your life to be the best that it can be." And as the two held each other, tears flowed from one, the mask of reconstruction, and the other from a mask of remorse. The New York Times said it was a marvelous moment of grace. There are 155 references in the New Testament on grace, and yet we know so little about it. Grace is shocking. It is unearned. It is that free gift of God. Grace is unexpected. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why would He do that? Grace changes lives. And it makes us want to live differently. Paul in Titus 2:12 said that grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly desires. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, it says that the love of God constrains us. It was grace that compelled Noah to build the ark. It was grace that compelled Abraham to leave his family and travel to a new land. It was grace when it appeared to Paul on that road to Damascus that Paul was never the same after that. And it was grace that softened the heart of this young man from New York. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'd like to read the first 11 verses of Romans 5. And Paul writes here, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." When you turn and read the first three chapters of the book of Romans, Paul paints in these three chapters a picture of hopelessness and helplessness because of man's depravity. To the Gentiles, he said that all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. To the Jews, he said that all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. But it was Paul that reminded us that all have fallen short of God's glory. Gentiles, Jews, everyone. And that there is no one righteous, not a single one. Punishment for this is death, not physical death, but the death that permanently separates us from God. Then comes grace. Listen closely to God's declaration of grace in Romans 3, verses 23 through 25. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom by God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins." Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one should boast." And in Titus 3 and verse 5, says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Are we all aware? Do we celebrate at any time the wonders of God's grace? Why does God love us? I have no idea. I have no idea why God loves us. But he does. Can we see it? You look in the middle of verse 5 and going through verse 8 of Romans 5. Paul said here that God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ dies for the ungodly. For scarcely one would die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much love is that? How much love is that? Why would he do that? These verses are really an expansion and an explanation for John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Romans 8 verse 35, Paul uses kind of like a rhetorical question. And he says in this verse, who can separate us from the love of God? And he lists a whole bunch of things because the answer is nothing. He says, can angels or demons or principalities or powers, life or death, not even the problems of life can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Even if we are wrapped up in our own selves and we're living the life that we choose, God still loves us, regardless. God never hated Cain. He saved Cain. Cain deserved death, but Cain lived. God hated the world. He was going to destroy it. But he loved Noah. Noah was a righteous man, and he saved the world because of Noah. We, I guess you could say, are all the descendants of Noah, all the way down through Adam and Eve. Nothing in this world can separate us from God. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What can you do to remove the guilt of sin outside of our acceptance of Christ and the gospel? Can't do a single thing. Not a single thing. In Acts 4 and verse 12, Peter was there and this Jewish audience was there and he said, there is no other name in heaven or on earth whereby one can be saved. Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. Romans 3, verses 22. The rest of it, there is no distinction. No distinction. Whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, God could care less of who you are. Because we're all in the same boat. We all fall short of God's glory. We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. That he made his Son a propitiation for our sins. We must never lose sight of the fact that we were saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Have you ever thought about or even celebrated in your own mind the ability to be able to talk directly to God? Have you ever even given a thought about offering our prayers that you don't have to go to someone to say them for you. You can go straight to God the Father. You pray through His Son, Jesus Christ, but you are talking to God. Have you ever imagined just how wonderful that access is? In Romans 5 and verse 2, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That little word access only appears three times in the New Testament. And each time it refers to a believer's access to God through Christ. That's the only thing it references to. Jesus has opened the door for our prayers. John 14, verse 13, Jesus, He said to His apostles there, if you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. I find it very hard to be able to grasp what a wonder it is to have personal access to God Almighty. That is the wonder of grace. Also through His grace we have the wonder of hope. Look at the end, the last clause in verse 2 of Romans 5. And then we'll look at verse 5. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Biblical hope is not an outlandish or fanciful wish for something that we may or may not receive. It is that confident expectation based upon God's promises and His absolute faithfulness. What is the promise that we hope for? The one I hope for is found in John 14. In My Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again so that where I am, you may also be. That's what I hope for. I think we all do. We're looking for something better than these humble hovels we live in today. Something made by the hands of God and not by man's devices. Because grace not only gives us access to the Father, it also gives us access to heaven. Have you ever wondered how grace is involved in molding our character? Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce character. And character produces hope. James 1, and verses 2 through 4, James writes here, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Why would I even begin to consider it a good thing to face trials? He answers it by, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And when perseverance finishes its work, you become mature. We become complete, and we don't lack a single thing. God's grace includes refining and remolding and remaking us into the people that He wants us to be as His instruments of righteousness. We are His living sacrifice. We celebrate the marvels of the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 4, a Hebrew writer says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The sin-forgiving blood had to be from a perfect sacrifice and a permanent sacrifice. These verses, Scripture affirm this. Hebrews 7, verse 27. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered himself. Hebrews 9 and verse 12, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of blood and blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Christ died for sins once and for all, for the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring us to God. It's what the blood of Christ has done for us. And I think God deserves all the praise and honor because of that. Final wonder is reconciliation. Romans 5 and verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. What was it Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2? That it is our sins that separate us from God. Is that what he said? But our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. It is in Christ that we have redemption and justification and reconciliation through the blood of Christ. Each of us have been critically injured by that turkey of sin. That sin came and crashed through our windshields of our lives. And we have all been damaged. We all fall short. How are we going to respond to this marvelous gift of grace? I'll tell you how. If you haven't grabbed hold of it right now, the opportunity is with you this moment, this time of day. And that is to make that decision to obey the gospel. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can reach out and grab hold of this grace that has been offered. You can grab hold of it. You know, I've talked with several people over the past few years that I don't think I'm good enough to ever get to heaven. None of us are. And I don't care who you are. There's not a single person on the face of this earth that's good enough to get to heaven. And if it wasn't for God's grace, there'd be nobody going. Jesus could have stayed where he was at. God's not looking for perfection from us. He's not asking us to do everything he commands every time, all the time. All God is asking for us is we put forth a gallant effort. And we will have a mediator for us in the court of judgment day. And if you are a child of God and you need to repent of anything in your life, God's grace is still there. And he will be honor his promises of forgiveness. If there is anyone who has needs of the invitation, We ask that you come as together we stand and we sing.